620, 1320 WILS. Last week, the dash cam video of the Philando Castile shooting, the police shooting occurred, was aired, shocked many. Now, today, the family, Castile's family, settling with the city, St. Anthony, for $3 million. I want you to hear some audio. This is the audio of the dash cam video of the shooting itself.
Reason up for George, your brake lights are out. You have your license and insurance?
I have to tell you, I do have a firearm on me.
Don't reach for it, then. Don't pull it out. Don't pull it out.
Okay, chilling, obviously. Let's talk to Bobby Kimbrough, Jr., law enforcement expert, decades in law enforcement, finished his career at the Justice Department, author of the book Surviving the Stop, Change the Atmosphere, Change the Outcome. Bobby, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thank you for having me.
Huh. I'm guessing you saw the video yourself, right?
I did.
I mean, you can hear the officer tell him two, three times, don't pull it out. Now, what did you think when you saw the video in terms of what the officer was doing?
Well, when I saw the video, the 9-minute video that aired before the stop, when he called in, he, meaning the officer, called in to his communications, he said that he was stopping a vehicle, and he said that they looked like the suspects in the robbery. So once he had the vehicle stopped, in his mind, what the suspects looked like in the robbery that he was referring to, mm-hmm. he had already labeled them that they looked like the suspects in a robbery vehicle. Now, once he stopped the vehicle, his tactics were totally off. And I've listened to several people talk about his tactics, which led to that. When the gentleman said, sir, I have a weapon and a license, a concealed carry permission, he should have moved in behind the A-frame and said, sir, place your hands on the steering wheel, step out of the car. Mm-hmm. But he still wanted the guy to produce ID.
So he essentially, because what he did is he reached into the car, right? Because he tells him, don't pull it out.
Exactly.
And he puts his hand, he's essentially trying to keep him from moving his hand, right?
Right. But here's the thing, though. If I tell you that I have a firearm, but yet you still want me to produce my license, even though I've already produced my insurance card, I would take up a total different position to where I'm standing behind the A-frame right between the passenger and the driver's door and say, sir, step out of the vehicle. He had backup to the right of him. He had another officer, if you saw in the video. But here's the other thing. You listen to that whole 9-minute dash cam. He forgot that the dash cam was still playing, and he was referring to the man as what an idiot. But then here's the critical part if you listen
Wait,
to him.
Wait, he was
Mike.
Referring to the man as what? I'm sorry?
As an idiot. Listen to the whole video, the whole 9 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, he just killed the man first and said, what an idiot.
Okay, now Bobby, you're breaking up just a bit, but I want to get to this because you said here's the critical part. What were you about to say there?
Here's the critical part. He was talking to a female officer, which probably was the sergeant or superior officer, the way the conversation was going. He said that he was reaching to his pocket and his
Okay, hold on, Bobby. You're breaking up. If you can move slightly, I'm not sure where you're located, but the signal is breaking up enough where we can't make it out. Bobby Kimbrough Jr. is with us, a law enforcement expert. His book, by the way, really addresses this issue directly. It's Surviving the Stop, Change the Atmosphere, Change the Outcome, and Bobby knows all about this as he's been...
Can you hear me now, Mike?
I hear you very clearly. So go ahead. The critical issue was... Go ahead. Get back to it, please.
What I'm saying is, if you listen to the whole video, the 9-minute video from the dash cam, after the shooting takes place, the video is still going, and he's forgetting that he's wired up, evidently. So when an officer comes up, which must have been a supervisor, a female, and the officer is asking him, what position did you have the gun pointed? And he goes in, and he starts saying that he had it right about his hip level. He said he was reaching into his pocket, and his hand was open wider than an ID. So basically, he never saw the gun. He said his hand was open wider than an ID.
So he didn't. Well, obviously, he thought it was a gun. He didn't see it. But here's my question to you, Bobby. In terms of the officer's, clearly it was a frightened reaction. What are your thoughts in terms of his moment in that moment, a life or death feeling he had? What do you think about that aspect of it?
Well, you know what? I can't speak to his reaction in his life at this moment. I can only speak to the ones that I've been in, right? But here's what I want to address, though, right? As an officer, And I love my men and women that carry the shield, regardless of what state where you're at. There's a certain level of professionalism. There's a certain level of risk when you're sworn in and take that job.
Mm-hmm.
It's a certain level. There's a certain level of professionalism and training that must take place that we must continue to push forward on.
Fair enough.
That should have never happened.
What do you think really caused the officer to fire the weapon, though, in your view?
In my point of view, from the whole setup, he was frightened. He should have never been carrying a gun. He should have never been. Remember me and you had a conversation. I said that when you hire an officer, there's nowhere in the country that every 5 years it does a psychological on their officers. Nobody does that.
Mm-hmm.
Only DOJ, Department of Justice, come back every 5 years and do a full background check. Local police departments don't do that. We've got to come back and do more training because the guy that you hire in 2017 will not be the same guy that you hire.
Right. Obviously, and the job can be enormously stressful. Bobby Kimbrough,
exactly.
Jr. with us. The book is Surviving the Stop. Here's what I want to know, Bobby. If you're Mr. Castile, right, if you're sitting in his seat in that car in that moment, what would you be doing?
If I was sitting in that seat at that moment, once I said I have a weapon and he said, I still want to see your license. In this day and time now, I'm going to say, sir, do you mind if I step out the car? The weapon is in the car. Here's where the weapon is. I wouldn't make no other movement whatsoever because here's the problem. Once you make a movement, right or wrong, the officer can articulate he was reaching for that gun. The dash cam doesn't show inside of the vehicle what he was actually reaching for. You just hear the audio.
Right. So essentially what, you just don't move your body at all? You just leave your hands out there?
Uh-huh. Period. Sir, my hands are on the steering wheel where you can see them. If you want me to get the license, sir, let me get out of the car, call for backup. The license are here or there. I'm not reaching for nothing.
Now, do you think that would have avoided the shooting itself?
Oh, definitely. If he would have kept it. But see, here's the thing. The officer was asking for some ID even after he got the insurance card.
Mm-hmm. So he.
So what I'm saying to you mm-hmm. is that once Castillo said, that, hey, I have a weapon, the officer should have said, sir, here's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
I want you to place your hands on the steering wheel. I want you to verbally tell me what the weapon is. Now, once you tell me verbally what the weapon is, if you had said the weapon is in my pocket, then I'm going to say, sir, I'm going to open the door.
Right.
I want you to reach out with your right hand.
And these are procedures that are basically
exactly taught
step by step. This is how you're supposed to undo it?
Without question.
Okay.
These are tactical, how you should exit a vehicle, a felony stop if you believe. Because you remember, he had backup to the right of the car.
Yeah. Do you?
And if I got you,
do you think this was manslaughter?
In my personal opinion, here's what I think, Mike. I think that could have been handled differently. I think that the officer made some critical mistakes. He made some critical mistakes, and that life could have been prevented is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that tactically we could have changed the atmosphere on that and thus changed the outcome.
Now, are officers taught, I wonder, in terms of the split-second nature of things, that things can turn that quickly? Because in a sense, you could see he thought that within seconds he might be getting shot. The officer thought that. Is that?
I'm sure that everybody knows that situations change drastically, quickly. You can be talking to somebody, and boom, you're fighting in the next second. That comes with the territory of Kevin and Shield. What I'm saying is that we as professional law enforcement personnel, there are tactics that are taught to us. First of all, if I'm in fear or think that this man is the robbery suspect that I think, that I thought, that I saw, don't know what he looks like, but for some reason I think he is, I got back up to my right. I'm going to order him out of the car. I can take cover and say, sir, exit the vehicle, open the door, stick your right hand out of the door, open your door, turn around and walk back to me. If you watch the video, the 9-minute video from the dash cam, you see another officer pull up
right with
the long gun.
And he was
and he orders the girl out of the car and tells her to walk backwards and kneel down. Does he not?
Look, the entire thing is chilling and seeing it on the dash cam even more so. It's Bobby Kimbrough Jr. His book, highly recommend the book, Surviving the Stop. Surviving the Stop. Change the atmosphere, change the outcome. Bobby Kimbrough Jr. right here on 1320 WILS. Bobby, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.